Good morning. All right, so today I'm going to be discussing adolescent pregnancy, the consequences and the benefits. All right, so I have no disclosures to discuss. All right, so when thinking about adolescent pregnancy, as you all know, adolescent pregnancy is really prevalent in the media right now. The biggest shows are 16 and Pregnant and Teen Mom. It's also expanded to other networks other than MTV. So we've seen it come out in ABC Family. There are a lot of Lifetime shows. There are some other movies that have come out in the theaters, all related to the same theme. So when we think about adolescent pregnancy, very rarely do we think about the good that can come out of adolescent pregnancy. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what the research says. I want to note, however, these are perceived benefits, and these are from qualitative findings from adolescent groups, adolescent mothers, talking about the good that's come out of their pregnancy. What they talk about is increased relationships, so finding out who their true friends are, really getting to know who are those that are going to stand by them while they're going through this transition into motherhood. They also talked about family building, so their family sort of gathers around. They've got an infant in the household. The family sort of comes together during this time. So resiliency, and this comes up quite a lot. Mothers talk about before considering dropping out of high school, and we know what the rates are related to teen pregnancy. They talk about not having any motivation or true goals, but since they've had this baby, now they've got increased resiliency. And now they have a purpose. They also talk about having someone to love, and this comes up quite a lot. You know, I've got this baby to focus on. He loves me, she loves me, I love him, that sort of thing. They talk about decreased partying and aimlessness. So no longer are they, you know, acting up or doing normal or even extreme teenage things, but they're now focused again on this baby. Poor health behaviors, underage drinking, smoking. They talk about no longer participating in these behaviors, but now because they have their child, they're no longer doing those. And then fertility concerns. So this seems a little bit odd considering the age group, but they talk about because they're having this baby so young, they don't need to worry about not being able to have a baby when they're 40. They're getting the baby out the way, and this sort of comes up quite a lot. All right, so this is the bad, and we all know this, related to adolescent pregnancy. It's related to decreased prenatal care usage, and these are statistical data. It's not perceived. This is what the research shows. Low high school graduation, low college enrollment, low marriage rates among those that have a baby as an adolescent, decreased earning power, and lower socioeconomic status. It's also associated with increased low birth rate, again, because they're not using prenatal care as much as they should, increased premature birth, risk of SIDS, increased social service usage, increased divorce among those adolescents that do have a child at a young age, and increase of adolescent birth within the family. So what I'm talking about here is those teenagers that have a baby as they're young, their children are more likely to have a baby. If they live in, if you have a household where a sibling is a teen mom, they also have a higher risk for adolescent pregnancy. Then this is the ugly. I'm not at all talking about the baby, but I am talking about the controversy related to adolescent pregnancy and prevention. Some of you may recognize this, but it's a teen pregnancy campaign that was done in New York City, and it had a lot of controversy. It was considered a shame game or a shame program to reduce pregnancy within that city. You know, we had a lot of people, Planned Parenthood, for example, were against this campaign. The arguments were that it wasn't reaching the target population. So who are we trying to address? Adolescent mothers or potential adolescent mothers, adolescent teen moms. And we weren't reaching that population. So really what you were creating was this them versus us sort of situation. So I'm going to talk about my research. So a little bit different than our earlier presenters, I did a qualitative research study with adolescent mothers and never pregnant teens. The girls were between the ages of 16 and 18, and they all participated in an in-depth interview that lasted about 45 minutes to an hour. And I asked them lots of questions, a lot of questions. But I'm going to talk about specifically here the easiest and the hardest thing about being a teen mom and some of those benefits and consequences that I presented a little bit earlier. So my never pregnant teens were about 17 and a half years old. There were the majority of them were African American. They were all enrolled in high school. 75% were enrolled in high school. I want to talk about the income differences between the two groups because there was a difference between these two. statistically. However, think about my age group, 16 to 18, and I ask them to report on their household income. So that comes with a caveat. The relationship status, majority of my never pregnant girls were single. However, the majority of my parenting girls, 72%, were partnered, and they reported being in a long-term relationship, 6 months or more, and some even reported being engaged. My parenting group was also slightly older, just a tad bit older, about 40% African-American, 40% white, and then I had the remaining were either Hispanic or other. And sexually, I asked them about current sexual activity, whether or not they were sexually active. Majority of the girls, or about 45%, were currently or used to be sexually active for the parenting group. My never-pregnant group, I had about 40% that had never engaged in sex. So I asked them, so we've talked about the best ways to prevent adolescent pregnancy and unplanned pregnancy, and I asked them what their thoughts were. So abstinence came up a lot more than honestly what I was expecting among these girls. For preventing STDs, it was considered best about 60% of the time, followed up by condoms. And then for preventing pregnancy, it was about half and half among the never pregnant group. Among the parenting group for condoms and abstinence. So just think about this. My girls that have already had a child, about 41% said that abstinence was the best way to prevent pregnancy. Going back to the previous slide, I asked them what they were currently using. About 30% of my parenting adolescents were not using any type of birth control. They'd either just recently stopped using birth control, or they discussed not trusting people or using these alternative methods. I'm using abstinence to prevent pregnancy, those sort of things. But they weren't on any sort of birth control pills, Depo, et cetera. About 40% of my never pregnant girls were also not using any contraception, but again, there was a good percentage of those that had never engaged in sex. So here are some of the key quotes that I pulled out in regarding to prevention of pregnancy and prevention of STDs. Testing came up as a way to prevent sexually transmitted disease, getting tested regularly, testing your partner, making sure that you have an honest and relationship where you can talk with that other person. They talked about how abstinence was the best way, however, it may not have always been appropriate. So they talked about, you know, the second best, the context that was really involved in a lot of these teens' lives and their relationships. Then I asked them what are some of the easiest things about being a mom, and I asked this if for the never pregnant girls and the parenting girls. My parenting girls talked about having a good and a happy baby. This came up a lot. They talked about their babies being different from other people's babies. I have a baby that doesn't cry. She's always happy. She wakes up smiling. And so they talked about this being really easy. They also talked about the love and the affection. So if you remember, that came up earlier in other research. You know, I love this child, and that's easy. That comes easy. I'm caring for the baby. It's just the everyday, day-to-day stuff that you have to do. You have to feed the baby, wash the baby. They talked about that being easy. Never pregnant girls talked about school exceptions, that, you know, their friends at school, they didn't have to abide by dress code. They got away with all these attendance rules, and they thought, you know, they sort of got a free pass in some aspects of school policy. They also talked about love and affection when it came to what they thought would be easy about being a teen mom. However, when I asked them what was the hardest thing, parenting adolescents, the parenting girls talked about unexplained or uncontrolled sickness, having a baby where they didn't know what to do if the baby was crying or the baby was sick and not knowing what to do in these sort of situations. They talked about this new routine. So although they said that feeding the baby and caring for the baby was easy, these late nights and these early mornings, that was a little bit difficult, having to wake up at all hours of the night. They also talked about being unable to provide tangible support. You know, the baby needs diapers, but I can't afford diapers. And they were aware that they were lacking in that aspect. My never pregnant girls, however, mentioned all of the above, and then they also added school adjustments, not being able to balance school and work, and school and mothering, and also relationship adjustments, family adjustments, all these adjustments that were going to come up later on. My never pregnant girls were also more likely to talk about long-term consequences. So, and this I'm going to talk about a little bit later, but they were to mention, okay, not just right now, but how hard or what are the adjustments they're going to have to make in 2 years, in 3 years, in 4 years down the line. Well, those sort of things did not come up among the parenting adolescents. They talked very much about right then and there. So some of the disadvantages, again, among my parenting adolescents, this is Carmela. She's 18 years old, and she has two children, a one-year-old and a three-month-old. And she said, everybody says it's hard, but it's all about support. So, and this, it's hard, but came up quite a lot. They discussed the things that were difficult, but they also said that it wasn't as difficult as other people said. And I asked them what that other people, the media, their friends, their parents, their family members, they all suspected that it was going to be a lot harder, and they said that living this life now, it wasn't that difficult, it wasn't that hard. Roslyn is unique because when she talks about a distinct disadvantage of motherhood, and this is the only one that I saw in my data, she talks about being grounded, so the fact that she wanted to do something at this age, but she can no longer. And it's a long-term consequence, that something that's happened because of this baby now that she's not going to be able to do in the future. She said, when I was 18, I wanted to run off to Las Vegas and go to college up there, but motherhood has put me here. I'm stuck. I'm part of Ocala now. And then my never pregnant girls, they talked about this changed focus, having to focus more on the future than versus right now. They talked about this, that tangible support, again, having to worry about diapers and bills and healthcare. They talked about stigma, and they talked about future stigma. So when you go to get that job at 25 after college, they talked about your employer maybe thinking that you weren't responsible enough to have this job because of the fact that you were a teen mom. They just talked about the increased responsibility that you have because of this new premature birth. Okay, so some of the advantages. So, again, we talked about renewed resiliency and motivation. This came up among both groups. The never pregnant girls and the parenting girls talked about what might happen if they had, or what did happen. So, Ray, 17, she's 6 months pregnant and she has a one-year-old. And she says, oh, I don't want them to think my mom's a dummy. It actually makes me want to go and get my degree. So she's talking about now she wants to finish high school. She wants to go to college. Noreen is 17 and she's got a four-month-old daughter. She says, well, there's this increased maturity. I used to be a troublemaker, but ever since she's had her daughter, she's doing well. She's getting along with her mother, with her parents. Alex is 17 and she's got a two-month-old son. She said, oh, I used to say I never want to get married, but I love my son and now I want to be a family. This came up also, so now it brings us closer together. Me and my partner, we have more long-term goals because we have this baby. Never pregnant girls, again, they talked about this renewed motivation, probably an increased want to become independent because you have a baby to take care of. They also talked about this wisdom that may come from this experience. So what are we talking about? What's the bigger picture here? I'd like to say that the implications, what they mean is because we really need to think about adolescent pregnancy both in a larger picture and then also in a cycle. So there's a lot going on for these girls. And if we look at, for example, our repeat pregnancy prevention programs, and we're focusing on preventing a second baby so we increase high school graduation and college enrollment, et cetera, and focusing on this future. However, a lot of the girls are considering this baby as that step. This baby, this birth, is what led them to wanting to reach these goals. So we really need to think about what's going on in these girls' lives before they get pregnant. If you think about it, these adolescents that I'm mentioning, these are girls that were at risk for dropping out of high school and for having low goal future aspirations to begin with. And that's why that baby allows for that increased motivation, because they didn't consider or may not have really truly considered high school graduation or college, technical degree or college enrollment after the fact, okay? We also need to think about prevention, this adolescent pregnancy prevention. The girls could all tell me about the best ways to prevent pregnancy. However, when you ask them what they were doing, oftentimes it didn't add up. There was always an excuse, or like I said, it was always within a context. Abstinence is best, but I'm with a partner, so that's really not reasonable, or I'm planning on getting on this, I'm not on it right now. So there's always this, okay, this foresight that this is something I should be doing. Again, it could be because we were having this conversation, but they didn't take that next step. So really thinking about that. Our sex education is working to the fact that they can report the best ways to prevent pregnancy and sexually transmitted disease. However, how many of them are actually participating in those said behaviors? And I think I may have time for questions.
You have time for one question.
Okay.
Okay, one right there.
Hi.
Quick comment.
Yes.
Thank you for acknowledging the positive aspect and for just reminding us all that we need to consider about the pre-existing disadvantage that women do not have to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.